welcome today morning in the great city of Atlanta. My name is Steak. That's Drew Butler alongside as we take you through 2 hours, hopefully, of, you know, on the Odyssey app or if you're driving around town or whatever it is, how you get your audio, how you get your audio content. We are here for you and got a lot to get to. And I think hopefully a lot of entertainment, strong opinions, a little bit of comedy, whatever it is that you need to make this kind of a gloomy Thursday morning a little bit better.
Yeah, it seems like the weather is going to be a little wet, a little inconsistent, but leading into the weekend, which should be great. So glad to be in the studio. We got a bunch to talk about. We'll have fun. 2 hours.
Yeah, I was on a golf course yesterday in this. I don't think you heard us yesterday, but it is my to become a better golfer.
Yes, and I have, it's a great mission to have.
I have 10 poles that I have on the times I have to play. Played at the Standard Club yesterday.
It's
in
right
John
down the street from me.
Great time. Beautiful track. Thanks to Scott Marr and folks out there for hosting us. If you haven't been to the Standard Club since they've redone that track, it's an awesome one.
Yeah.
And so we were up there. We were the only people on the golf course.
Wow.
Because it was so lousy in the morning.
Right.
So we're playing the back nine. There was nobody there. It was 3:45 and it was 80 degrees and sunny. But
yeah,
it started so
afternoon.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And they got a great irrigation system, I guess. They spent a ton of money. So I was playing with some dudes, my buddy Bruce Scala, and he's like, you're never going to see this. We're in the middle of spring in Atlanta. We're the only people on this sick golf course because similar, this is what yesterday morning looked like.
Yep.
And was raining. Now, I don't think it's going to turn today like it did yesterday where it got nice, but pretty cool to just have a whole track to yourself, which is what was happening.
No question. And Standard Club now is the home to Mizuno Tour Fitting Facility.
So
I had not
seen
that yet, but it's called the Foundry. All of Mizuno's tour talent and their upcoming talent will be coming to the Standard Club to do full club fittings, get on the computers, get on the TrackMan simulators, and they will build their clubs right there in that new facility at the Standard Club.
Yeah,
Mizuno obviously is based here in Atlanta. They're a North American headquarters, I believe, right?
Okay.
Atlanta, I believe
everybody was talking about, you know, that in the clubhouse, at least it was after, once we were getting off the course, and folks were like, yeah, that Mizuno thing is a real deal. So that's yesterday. I just did V103. That's why I come in here out of breath a little bit. I do V103 every Thursday morning, Atlanta Eats on radio. And they were asking me to do something on meals under $20. Things have gotten so expensive. You know, you almost can't go anywhere.
You really can't. That's a great topic.
So one of the things we were talking about, I brought up, is there's a company. I know you're fascinated by business and marketing and all that. There is a company that nobody saw coming that is the hottest story in the restaurant world, and that is, I think it's Chili's, right?
With the talked about this on air.
Yeah, the Triple Dipper.
Yes, has like revitalized the entire brand.
It's unbelievable. And it's
all organic social media marketing. They go mega viral by these people walking in, trying these new mozzarella sticks, taking videos of it, saying
it's
the
cheesiness,
the cheese pull. And,
right.
You know, there are actual studies as to when those videos go viral, how much revenue it generates for Chili's restaurants across the country. It's unbelievable.
Tens of millions.
Yes.
I can tell you this just by mentioning, you know, I had that viral video from a week and a half ago at that burger place where they sold out Saturday and Sunday completely.
Wow.
It was a whole thing about
Shea Butter
waiting.
Jones, right?
Yeah, Shea Butter Jones. Or anything. But you know, that's a thing now. People want value. Listen, you got a lot of fancy downtowns, and Johns Creek's done a great job, and your area has done great, and kind of the Norcross.
Duluth, Norcross, Alpharetta,
Roswell. Marietta Square now is cooler than it's ever been.
City Springs and Sandy Springs. Yeah, man.
At the end of the day, you know, it's hard to take and feed the family. As your girls get older, dude, the amount of drama over, like, who's eating what, where, when is it going to happen? Are we cooking for the week? When do you go out
Hell
to dinner?
Yeah, man.
I mean, it's a whole thing. I know your girls are young, but
it's stressful. I mean, we just did a road trip. We were down at Miramar Beach for Memorial Day weekend, which was awesome. But, you know, down and then back, you hit Chick-fil-A both times. That's $100 down and back.
Well, think about
it. Three girls, me and Jackie.
That's exactly what Chili's.
$50 a pop.
Chili's is now marketing campaign is, do you want to spend the same money and go fast food? Or do you want to have a waitress and drinks and TVs and setting? Because the prices through, you know, a McDonald's or a Chick-fil-A or any of these, and your price point is, you just said it, $100 to feed the family twice.
Right. And I love Chick-fil-A. We'll keep coming back.
Of course, Chick-fil-A does a great job. It is what it is in terms of cost. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. And I'll maybe talk about some of the places on the list. I'll say this. You go to Buford Highway, you're going to find deals.
Right.
You know, and there's always taco deals, by the way. My kids go to Verde. They're $4 tacos. Taqueria del Sol. Places up and down Buford
Highway. What's the
Highway.
Buford Highway Cuban spot? You've done a video from there. It's
Havana.
Awesome. Yeah, place is great.
Yeah, Lee's.
That's like OG Cuban sandwich.
Yes, OG.
Phenomenal.
Place called Lee's Bakery on Buford Highway, the Bon Me sandwich. So you can find them, but you just have to research a little. And cost is,
that's right.
A thing more and more for folks right now. You know, so we're always looking for great value. So we did that. Wanted to tell you about my golf. I want to find out what you've been doing of late. How was everything with you?
Awesome, man. Yeah, we had a phenomenal Memorial Day weekend. Friends of ours, we went down to their condo at Miramar Beach. I'd never been down there. I'm relatively unfamiliar with 30A and Destin. Miramar's right next to Sandestin.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize it, but on Tuesday morning when we're kind of taking our time to make our way back to Atlanta, I see my buddy Josh Brooks on TV. I'm like, oh, he's 100 yards away from me. That's exactly where the SEC spring meetings are happening. Yes.
Where Feinbaum had that ridiculous beach shot behind him, right?
That's the beach.
Yeah, right there at Sandestin. We've done shows there in the past. That whole stretch of 38, and that's way on the other end from, say, Rosemary Beach, an hour in between. But, well, we got a lot to get to over the course. My buddy Eddie Gonzalez, he used to run the Atlanta Open for years, which was our only professional tennis tournament in town. He now is living the life of a semi-retired dude. He's coming in here at 10 o'clock. The toughest thing to do in sports, he's traveling around. That's facing, I guess, a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, getting on skates for the first time, returning a volleyball serve from
I can't wait to talk to him because I feel like this is, you know, you sitting around the table with your boys. You might have had a couple of too many pops, and you're like, would you get in the ring with prime Mike Tyson?
Right.
For $10 million.
Well, I've done the conversation. Could I last 30 seconds in a ring with Tyson?
No.
Right.
No way.
And they're like, dude, that's the stupidest question. I said, what if I literally run away from him?
Yeah.
Like I'm running.
No.
If I'm just, my goal is to last 30 seconds, but I'm running. But again, if think about the MMA guys. One of their kicks to your leg or shin.
Yeah. Snap it in half. Snap. Your femur in half.
So your body, their bodies are just trained to handle a
without
kick like that?
Question, dude. If Conor, you know, prime Conor McGregor or whoever.
Or any of these guys.
If they did a roundhouse kick to your shin, that thing would snap like a twig in the woods.
And if they kicked us in the ribs.
You would go down so hard,
right.
Your ribs would be broken. You'd probably be gasping for air thinking you're going to die.
Yeah.
Your lung would be punctured.
Right. So that's one of those questions. You're right. So it's like, you sit and have this debate probably over, like, what's the hardest thing in sports to do?
You asked me that, and I was like, I don't know, ride a horse in the Kentucky Derby? I'd have no idea what I'm doing.
So he's going to come in and talk about that. His son also is playing minor league baseball. He tells the trials and tribulations. Played at Tech for Danny Hall. He's coming in later, but let's do our 9 at 9 as well. All right, the Braves, I'm not going to say a much-needed night off. I think they wanted to get back out there. Middle of a horrible stretch, one of their worst stretches of the year, especially when they needed it the least. You got over 500. That didn't last long, and now you are struggling. The Phillies, you rained out yesterday. Two games today.
Yeah, doubleheader today. 105 is the first pitch of the first game. A.J. Smith-Shawver on the mound for the Braves against Christopher Sanchez for the Phillies. And then they run it back. 6:45 p.m., Chris Sale on the mound for Atlanta. Zach Wheeler on the mound for Philadelphia. And as you said, Steak, the Braves right now just cannot find any momentum. They're three games under 500. They're 25-28 on a two-game losing streak. They got to find some sort of consistency because this is just not inspiring baseball.
Yeah, they got to find a way to get at least one today. Two would be
right,
just what the doctor ordered, but that Chris Sale, Zach Wheeler matchup, very intriguing in the nightcap tonight, 6:45. Meanwhile, speaking about a nightcap, Atlanta United last night playing Orlando City FC. Red cards, goals everywhere. Conte is going crazy. They win another home game. That's back-to-back. They score in the fifth minute of extra time. That was Jamal Tiare after scoring the 83rd minute when they're down 2-1. A big win for Atlanta United.
Yeah, scoring that go-ahead goal in the fifth minute of extra time. Just an awesome scene down at Mercedes-Benz. And Sleets' goal in the 83rd minute, absolutely phenomenal. He ripped one from the top of the penalty box, hit the crossbar, hit the upright, and ended up in the goal. So a huge win for Atlanta United, 3-2 over rival Orlando City SC.
Yeah, it looked like a great scene. And we needed those two dubs, which is exactly what you got. And goal scoring in the building, something Atlanta United fans had to be thrilled with back-to-back games. Meanwhile, Anthony Edwards, local product, him and the T-Wolves went down, and let's just say in less than exemplary fashion, absolutely blown out of the gym, one of the worst basketball games you're ever going to see. Oklahoma City was up by 11 within 4 minutes of that game, and they cruise. If you ever wondered where the NBA title is headed, you better think OKC. 124-94. They win by 30. They wait for the Pacer Nick champion, but boy, will they be a heavy favorite in the finals.
Yeah, they absolutely will. Oklahoma City is a wagon right now. Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals is tonight, 8 p.m. tip-off on TNT. Pacers at the New York Knicks. This one's in Madison Square Garden.
Your first
Knicks are 4.5-point favorites.
What's your first gut in betting that game?
I think the Knicks get one at home.
Indiana's a better team, and they're getting 4.5, but are they really going to go 0-3 on their home building, the Knicks?
I know.
So
that's where my head goes.
Okay. Yeah. I hate giving up that many points, but that's just a little bit of our 9-9. When we come back, we will hear from Anthony Edwards. Listen, winning a title ain't easy, and are the T-Wolves even close after watching what happened to them last night? We'll hear from the local Georgia Star. Also, Mike Vrabel and the Patriots, not a good day for them. If you haven't heard or seen the viral video with Stephon Diggs, what do you do as a boss when it's very clear your newest star player is up to shenanigans? It's the definition of what Mike Bell would call shenanigans. That's what Stephon Diggs is up to. We'll get to that and lots more. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This is the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Drew Butler and Steak Shapiro in the fold on a Thursday morning. A gloomy and wet Thursday morning here in the city of Atlanta, but things should brighten up, hopefully, around 1 o'clock when the Braves play their first of a doubleheader up in Philadelphia against the Phillies. A.J. Smith-Shawver will be on the mound in the first game. Chris Sale on the mound in the second game, which is scheduled for 6:45. So the Braves got rained out yesterday. They're making it up today. Doubleheader action starts at 1:05 up in Philly. Some other news that's been going on, a place where I was just at over the weekend, Steak, Miramar Beach, Florida. It's where the SEC spring meetings have been taking place. And as the SEC does, they just continue to make these events bigger and bolder and more out in the open. It kind of reminds me of what the NFL has done with their 12-month schedule of things that fans can get involved with.
Cycle of news, release of the schedule, release of our SEC meetings, rule changes. Then, of course, in the Hoover, Alabama for years, which happens when you bring all the captains and everybody to town.
Yeah, so, and Media Days will be in Atlanta this summer, which should be a lot of fun. But I just find it so funny as you get on social media and you see the reactions to the news bits that break from the SEC spring meetings of college football fans, probably not SEC fans, complaining about what these coaches and these athletic directors are saying and complaining about what Greg Sankey is saying, to which I say, these people don't give a rip about the Big Ten or the Big 12 or the ACC. All they care about is the Southeastern Conference, and they're not going to do or say or talk about anything that doesn't have to do with the SEC when they're literally on the beach with SEC banners flying behind them.
Yeah, it's no different than a brand that has a convention, right, in Vegas or somewhere else, and they bring all their top leaders together. They're not talking about their competitor. They're talking about what went right this year. How do we continue to stay on top? When you talk about our company here in Coca-Cola, I kind of think like Coke and the SEC. Did you see now, I don't even give the name of the other soda company, first time ever, they're fourth overall.
Is that right?
That all the top brands in the soda business are Coke-owned brands.
Wow, I did not know that.
And Dr. Pepper is on fire. Sprite for the first time has knocked out that other soda. They're in the three spot. Mm. Coke in the one spot.
Wow.
So a domination of a local company, SEC-like. We'll talk more about the SEC and Greg Sankey. Why maybe all the bravado is not good for college football. That's coming up in a little bit. I did want to touch on, and I don't know if you have that cut ready to go, but the situation, it's not about New England as much as a head coach and the situation he's been put in. The Patriots go and sign Stephon Diggs for a 3-year, which I think was a lot of money for a guy that I don't know that he's still a dominant wide receiver. Certainly he's had a checkered kind of scenario with multiple teams of late, right?
Yes.
And he's their big wide receiver signing. They had the worst group of wide receivers.
Yeah, they needed him. You know, that was just a perfect situation for him to make a boatload of money because the Pats needed wide receiver help in any way, shape, or
form. I've never seen a worse group of wide receivers in my life or worst missing on picks worse. They took Javon Polk of Washington.
Jaden Polk.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Jaden Polk, right? They took him over Ladd McConkey. Over Ladd McConkey, not to mention the other stiffs they have in that group. But anyway, so Stephon Diggs gets that big deal from New England for 3 years to help out with Drake May, and that's just part of how they're rebuilding New England. Meanwhile, they're in OTAs that Stephon Diggs is not at. But where he was a part of a viral video that surfaced that shows Stephon Diggs, who supposedly is now dating Cardi B.
I think that is accurate.
Yeah, they were at the Knick game together recently. He is on a boat where he opens up this little mini case and a young lady grabs a bag with a pink substance in it and he says, don't finish it all. Now,
this you need to set the stage a little bit better, though. Young ladies,
yeah,
and they are fiending over what he has available to them.
There's like four girls in bikinis. Yeah. It's Stephon Diggs. There's music playing, and there's a substance that he hands them and says, don't finish this. Most folks seem to conjecture that it's a form of what's called pink cocaine, which is recently a combination of...
It said like ketamine, cocaine, methamphetamines.
Yeah, like ecstasy, like
right.
Something.
MDMA.
So I had heard from about, you know... trying to understand what young people are up to, that on the islands now this has become something, this pink coke or whatever it is. It certainly looks like it, and it's certainly an awkward situation for Mike Vrabel, the new head coach of the New England Patriots, instead of talking about his revamped offense and the incredible offseason for New England, he is having to talk about this.
Well, it's something that we're aware of, and obviously we want to make great decisions on and off the field. And we're hoping that with our time here on the field today, and that when we don't have a script and we're on the call-up periods, that we're making great decisions. And so the message will be the same for all our players, that we're trying to make great decisions, and any conversations that I've had with Stephon will remain between him and I and the club.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all Mike Vrabel can say. We hope our players make good decisions. I'm sure Coach Vrabel and maybe the wide receivers coach for the New England Patriots reached out to Stephon Diggs personally and said, please make good decisions.
So I had heard this name tossed around called Tusi, T-U-S-I, which sounds like it has kind of an island name, which is where I guess this is surfaced more. Or pink cocaine, typically does not contain cocaine, ketamine, MDMA, sometimes caffeine or something along those lines. It's really the last thing you want to see from a leader on your team and a video surface where it appears that there's not a care in the world.
And he's not with his team. The team is in OTAs and he is not there.
What is legitimately, and I put it out to group, what's the responsibility of Mike Vrabel here?
That's it. That's the only responsibility he has, unfortunately, because in the world of the NFL, when you pay a high-profile superstar $68 million to come be your wide receiver one, it's probably expected just based on, and this is an assumption of mine, based on what he has done in seasons past, that he's not going to be at OTAs. That's probably expected. Hey, I'll be at voluntary minicamp, or excuse me, mandatory minicamp.
I don't do OTAs.
And then I'll be in tip-top shape when training camp starts, and you'll expect what you paid me to do when the season starts.
Many professions, if you are head of sales for an organization or a top salesperson, if you're Paul Pierce and you're on TV, like, what did he lose his job for? Smoking a bunch of weed on a video viral with women, right?
Right, yes.
Isn't that what he lost his gig for? you know, there's a lot of jobs where if something surfaced on Instagram or you had a friend post something and somebody within your organization was like, hey, boss, have you seen this? Jerry looks like he was getting after it on the islands over the weekend or whatever.
Well, look, if he's the top salesperson in his company, I'm sure the boss is a little bit more lenient with him. And that's why I've always said on this show a million times over and over, the NFL is the ultimate meritocracy. Coaches and owners will put up with whatever they have to put up with as long as Stephon Diggs produces. And if he produces and he scores 4 touchdowns in the first 3 weeks, nobody's going to be talking about this.
Bob Kraft owns the New England Patriots. He made a $69 million commitment to fix his wide receiver position, a somewhat embattled wide receiver that Buffalo thought was expendable because of kind of some of the nonsense.
Right.
Arguably George Pickens' ass, maybe not as bad, right? You're paying that much money. Your player does not show up at OTAs. And now the hottest video yesterday on the market, enough that my daughter came to me and goes, have you seen this video? And just wants to ask me about this Tootsie substance or what do you do here? And then Vrabel's answering questions.
It's just a gigantic distraction. And it's unfortunate because Vrabel has to say, we're trying to make sure that we don't make mistakes on the field.
Yes.
We also want to make sure that we don't make mistakes off the field.
Can you imagine, though, how is too light a word for the guy that is paying that number, that is paying that salary, right, to have to it's a little bit – I want to say it. I mean, the owners deal with a lot. Arthur Blank,
right.
God knows he's dealt
right.
with a lot, this nonsense in the draft. And fine with Shador, nonsense with his quarterback saying something out of line that next thing you know, you lose a draft pick,
Correct.
Things like that. But here you are. I don't know. Like you said, if he was a third receiver on the team, he's cut, right? Is there any doubt?
Probably so.
Third or fourth receiver.
Yeah, rookie, you're done.
Who's the famous wide receiver coach for years here in Atlanta? Not here.
Terry
anymore.
Rubisky?
Yeah. Terry Rubisky, if it was his fourth receiver or third receiver. Well, he would call the guy
right.
up and go, are you out of your effing mind?
Yeah.
Get your ass back to Atlanta, and you're going to get punished when I see you.
Correct.
And he would hold it again. But again, all that matters there in New England now is proving you can win without Bill Belichick and proving that you have done everything right, and people are saying the best offseason they've ever had in the history of the team and that you're a possible playoff team. You're not that with Stephon Diggs. But, man, I don't know what jobs. Would Mike Conte, I can tell you this, Mike Conte and Odyssey and everybody else, there was a viral video posted that looked like that. Not a lot of people would have a gig at all, right? So
Stephon Diggs has to show awareness, too, because whoever was taking that video was standing right in front of him, clearly with the phone out, taping him, recording him.
Dude,
it wasn't like he was doing it in a selfie mode, but he's, like, looking at the camera, which was a little bit.
Have you seen the video, Bo? I mean, he just opens that case up without a care in the world.
It's almost like he aims it. It's almost like he aims it at the camera lens. Yeah,
I would argue that if he was doing some of that substance,
he probably wouldn't have had that awareness.
Yeah, just didn't. I'm having a great time. Maybe you're filming. You know, one of the things that drugs and alcohol could do to you is you don't always put one, two, and two together.
Correct.
Like you don't know. Like I'm having fun right now. I'm not thinking about back home. The video that's going to post and Mike Vrabel sitting in miserable weather up there in Boston in May getting asked a question about me on a boat with 5 chicks.
And I can assure you, based on that, he was definitely not thinking about any of that.
No, he wasn't.
He was having a great time.
So, just, you know, man, it is real life because there's consequences to everything you do. One thing I always tell my kids, whatever you choose, whatever behavior, there will be consequences on the other
end. Actions have consequences.
And positive and negative.
Yeah, of course.
Treat people the right way. You do the right thing enough times, I can hopefully raise my hand. When you get fired, people want to rehire you if you treat people well. I know a lot of people in this business have not gotten a job again. You know why? How they treated people along the way.
Yep.
So that's part of it. When we come back, why Greg Sankey is turning into a full-fledged college football villain. Also, Steve Sarkisian speaks, and Drew Butler has some thoughts. Sports Radio 929 The Game. .939 Sports Radio 929 The Game. Steak Shapiro and Drew Butler on a Thursday morning.
We were just talking about OTAs and how Stephon Diggs is not at OTAs. Did you see what Joy Taylor did yesterday on Speak FS1?
Joy Taylor is the one who is embroiled in the controversy
Correct.
Of sleeping with her boss who got fired. He lost the gig, right?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't remember the details accurately enough.
A lot of scandal surrounding her and her tenure at FS1.
Did you see what happened to her yesterday?
No.
She goes on a rant on her show, Speak, saying, why on earth is Aaron Rodgers not at OTAs with the Steelers?
Oh, no.
How disrespectful.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't even know anybody in the building.
Oh, my God.
He's not respecting the brand of the Steelers.
And there's no producer that saved her right there? Damn.
And just a newsflash for all of our listeners, Aaron Rodgers is not on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And she goes on this tirade about how it's unacceptable that he is not at OTAs.
Oh my God.
With the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I can't believe her co-hosts didn't correct her on the spot.
I'm reading the headlines. Joy Taylor slammed for bizarre Aaron Rodgers rant. Next one. Am I missing something? Joy Taylor bizarrely rants at Aaron Rodgers for missing OTAs, leaving Steeler fans puzzled.
It's like, so weird.
You know, that's a bad moment. That's a horrendous moment. And listen, I've gotten things wrong. I don't know ever to that level.
Where you like, go on a tirade.
Like, I got a whole soliloquy here. Let me do this thing. Like, let me tell you something right now.
Yeah.
The reason we traded Kirk Cousins and the reason he's no longer in our building is because we're going to set a standard here and go get, and like, do 2 minutes. Steak, they didn't trade. What? What? Is this on? Like, that's a bad moment. Yeah. Especially because it wasn't just like, I think Aaron Rodgers would be great with the Steelers now. It's happened. That's fine. Dude, it's not there yet. Oh, my bad. No, to have a whole, like, put it in your show rundown, like, I'm going to do a whole thing on it.
And it kind of piggybacks on, obviously, what she's been embroiled in her legitimacy.
Lack of credibility.
Yes.
Lack of credibility.
Correct.
Kind of like the Aaron Rodgers, the Brett Favre horrendous documentary when Jen Sturger, who was like, you know, the hot girl at the Florida State game that Brent Musburger mentioned. Next thing you know, she's a sideline reporter. Nobody really understood why. And from a credibility standpoint, right? It's like, does this girl have any credit? But you haven't seen it, right?
No, you talked me out of it.
Has anybody else said what I said? Have you had anybody else tell you that documentary?
I think so many people listen to the Steakhouse that they heard your rant and they were like, I'm not going to watch
this. The worst moment I have ever seen for an on-air personality in terms of, I mean, maybe it's a stretch, but short of completely slandering somebody illegally on the air or something, is Michelle Beadle is hired by Mike Greenberg
yes.
to co-host Get Up. So in the early days of Get Up, Greeny says, I'm done with Mike and Mike. It's an unceremoniously end of that show. Golic was pissed. Greenberg doesn't care. Knowing him a little bit, he really is out for Mike Greenberg at all times. So he's got that show that ESPN invested a bunch in, right?
That whole new studio right there in the Seaport.
Yes, and they're going to try to put Michelle Beadle, who was kind of a hot commodity, on the show. And Michelle Beadle gets on one morning, whatever scandal was going on in the NFL or whatever incident had happened, and she says, that's why I stopped watching football months ago. I don't even watch football because she's an NBA person. And it was like, I remember watching going, did she literally just say she's hosting a national morning show and just said, I don't watch football. Football's out. That sports, I'm done with that. Not the NHL.
And let me check, ESPN ABC invests, what, $4 billion
a year? Not the WNBA.
Yeah.
Not the WNBA. She was done with that show. It was over the minute that came out of her mouth, and she's never really recovered. But, I mean, that's just nonsense. And I would imagine if FS1, they're like you don't have enough problems, Joy. Like, you had to do a tirade about a guy that's actually not on someone's team. That is rough stuff. And I say it with all humility that I have screwed up on the air.
Oh, we all have, yeah.
But that's another level. All right, a lot of stuff going on in college football. I know you got some thoughts on all the SEC. That's what's great about having you here and Rusty here, obviously, as you're closer to it than anyone. So without further adieu, let's do the tailgate.
SEC spring meetings wrapping up down in Sandestin, Florida, Miramar Beach. So, of course, all of the big wigs across the conference are going to jump on Feinbaum, do interviews, and talk with local and regional and national media to promote the good of the SEC moving forward.
Yeah, you know why we're partnered with ESPN? Because they can go live down there and give us unbelievable coverage in the month of May when baseball's in like their 52nd game, when Oklahoma City and Minnesota are not exactly compelling the national audience with the NBA. And other than the NFL, college football is king. And they're sitting back saying, the SEC, bring it on. Let's just, you know, ESPN and company broadcasting live.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was fascinating to watch kind of these coaches and athletic directors discuss and debate where the game of college football is at. Obviously, the big house settlement, which should allow schools to directly pay student athletes, is supposed to be signed into action later on this summer. Another big talking point was, will the SEC move to a 9-game conference schedule? Something that's been hotly debated over the past couple of seasons. What about auto bids in the college football playoff? Would that hurt the SEC's chances of getting more teams into an expanded playoffs? And another one that came out yesterday that I found pretty fascinating, we'll touch on this in a bit, could the SEC and the Big Ten, the two conferences that are really dominating college football in the moment, could they start to match up against one another in the regular season? But going back to, State, the discussion of should the SEC move to a 9-game schedule, add one more conference game throughout the season as the college football playoff is expected to expand. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey said, I don't really know if that's in the best interest of our teams.
It's clear that not losing becomes, in many ways, more important than beating the University of Georgia, which two of our teams were left out did. Nobody had that kind of quality win.
It's true that not losing is more important than quality wins, and I would have to say I agree with Greg Sankey, and I can guarantee you all 16 SEC head coaches agree with him too.
Yeah, listen, I understand the 9-game, why the coaches should back off, why that's not advantageous. I'm just going to say this about Greg Sankey. And being around the block even longer than you and a lot of folks, I've been around a lot of CEO types, head coach, general managers, titans of industries. There's two ways to go about your business. And constantly demeaning and being as demonstrative, like you're the king of the world, Greg Sankey. We know you got the best of everything, commissioner of the SEC. I mean, the condescension, though, towards the ACC and the Big 12 and even the Big 10, which has no right to be condescending. The Big 10, they got a bigger contract. They got the last two national titles. Yeah. Like, he just paints himself to be a villain. It's really easy to poke holes in your theory about last year when you talk about Alabama and Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss lost to the Gators when they were beating nobody. They lost to LSU, had a mediocre season, and they lost to Kentucky. So if you're a national power, I know you beat Georgia, but Georgia, listen, was going to lose games in the middle of that gauntlet as well. And if you're Alabama fans, I don't hear Mike Johnson make a peep. You know why?
Because they lost to Vanderbilt and they got boat raced by Oklahoma.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And you know what? A real sports fan at their core understands if you root for programs like Alabama, there's a standard set, and losing to the Sooners and the Commodores is not that standard.
Here's what I would say about Greg Sankey. You know, of course, he does not care about the ACC, the Big Ten, and the Big 12. He is paid to make sure that the SEC is highly compensated as a conference, and he is paid to make sure that the majority of his teams get chances to compete for national championships. But I'll say this. If you are the King Kong commissioner, as you kind of paint yourself to be now, all I hear about are complaints about where the game of college football is at. All I hear about is, hey, we need to fix this, we need to fix that, we're in a state of flux. How about creating some solutions? If you're the big dog, give us some solutions. Make something happen. And I would have to say, from the outside looking in, I got to think Greg Sankey's got the juice to maybe get something like that done, but I haven't seen it yet.
What do you think about moving away from the 4-4-2-2-1 format so that you don't just automatically give the SEC four teams and the Big Ten and you just say, what is it, 4-11? 5-11. Yeah. 11 at large, five conference champions, one of them being from the group of five. right?
Yeah, you know, I think Kirby, we don't have the cup, but Kirby had a really good retort to one of those statements around maybe quote-unquote SEC bias. He's like, why is SEC quote-unquote bias only in football going to the NCAA tournament this past year in basketball? Well, how many teams? 14 teams, 12 teams out of the SEC made it to the tournament.
What about baseball? What just happened in baseball?
So what he's saying—
How many did they get in baseball, by the way, in the regionals, super regionals, which are coming up? No, more than that.
More than that?
I think it was 12.
But what he is saying is this. If you go to the 5-11, and there are 11 at-large bids, get ready for the SEC to dominate 11 of those spaces.
I don't think it's
going to
be any different if you go 4-4, 2-2-1, or if you go to the 5-11, because SEC is rightfully so going to dominate.
Well, when discussing the 8-game conference schedule versus the 9-game conference schedule, I thought Texas head coach Steve Sarkisian had a really good point as to why maybe the SEC should probably just stick with an 8-game conference schedule.
This idea of somebody's going to go 16-0 in college football, man, put a statue up somewhere of that team, because I just don't know if that's going to happen again.
So if that's never going to happen again, then why would you want to make your schedule harder? Georgia Athletic Director Josh Brooks was on Feinbaum yesterday. He's like, you really have to think about, when you're creating these schedules, what's the give and what's the take? We're going to be ready at the end of the season, regardless if we play Marshall.
What's the risk of now adding a game against Oklahoma, Mississippi State, LSU, insert, versus what's the reward? There's not a block. I mean, I guess if you're having a mediocre season, one of those wins could vault you into the field of 16.
Yeah, and that would be like a 14, 15, 16 type decision, not a top four type decision. And I think Georgia is actually in a really good position to opine on this, because look at their schedule over the last couple of years. They play some of the toughest non-conference games in the country, and oftentimes they've been that fifth team outside of the top four.
What do you think having a schedule Georgia Tech every year does when you play an 8-overtime game against a team that absolutely fighting you tooth and nail? Brent Key is inspired by the George O'Leary era, saying, we're not going to take a backseat to Georgia. We're going to beat Georgia outright. I've been there when we could beat him, and we're going to have a chance to do that. And now they're fighting for their lives. Georgia's in the middle of a season, or the end of a season, where they've had a gauntlet of games against the Gators, the Volunteers, against Ole Miss, Alabama, Texas.
Holy cow.
Right? And now in the back end of their year, right before the SEC title game, the biggest game of the year at Georgia Tech, who, by the way, now as a top 20 recruiting class, great quarterback play, wants to be in the field of 16. That's our final game. Then we're going to go to the SEC title game. Then if we don't win that, we're going to a playoff game. We win that playoff game, we're going to another playoff game.
Why?
I mean,
why would you make
much.
It harder? I mean, Georgia Tech played Georgia so hard this year, they made rings for the entire team. That was something else. I'm sure you saw that yesterday, Georgia Tech going viral in not the best way. They made rings for their 2024 season, in which, of course, they lost to Georgia. They lost the Birmingham Bowl, and then they beat 2-10 Florida State, and they beat Miami. So they got rings.
Yeah, that was not that gave Georgia an open game to just right. I mean, just handed it to them on a platter. But I do enjoy, the maybe just because we do this for a living, the media frenzy of the SEC. Greg Sankey, we've interviewed him many times. He is who he is. You don't have to be pompous and condescending. You can be the king. You can be the CEO. We sat with Ed Bastian here a couple of times, right?
Yeah.
Ed Bastian's the king of the world. CBS Sunday Morning, you didn't see it, did an entire 7 minutes on Delta Airlines.
Oh, I got to see that. I have not seen that
yet. The 100-year anniversary of Delta on CBS Sunday Morning. Not about American, United, whatever, about Delta Airlines, a 7-8 minute commercial in CBS News, not in the business of propping up big capitalist,
whatever.
They're not in the business of propping up big companies. Why? Because Ed Bastian has a humility to him, and it can say, hold my beer, look where we are, and look where everybody else is, but you don't have to be. Greg Sankey, watch some Ed Bastian from Delta. And tone it down a notch. Tone it down. Humility. It's an amazing quality. Try to show
a
little
bit. Or become the commissioner of college football. and be the true villain.
Yeah.
Kind of like a Roger Goodell type.
Well, that's how you're talking, for sure.
Exactly.
Hey, we'll ask what's the hardest thing in all of sports to do when we come back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.